You know, this 2017, this whole new year that we've been talking about and really are creating kind of a funnel to take us all the way to the end of the year, equipping us for what we believe this year represents. Now, it's 2017 to us in our calendar, you know. But the Jewish calendar, you know what this year is in the Jewish calendar? It's 5777. Y'all know what the seven means? Completion. What do you got when you got a double seven? Completion. What do you got when a triple seven? I mean, you got a lot of stuff that the timing for this year really is prophetic in that sense of what's ahead. Some of the words that are floating around that God seemed to be saying to a lot of different people are the words breakthrough. Anybody here could use a breakthrough this year? All right, I think you're going to get it. The words floating around are words of fulfillment. If your fulfillment tank is not full or you've been somehow running it low, this year is the year where God wants to boost and to fill you up with fulfillment. Abundance is another word floating around. You know, another word that I thought was interesting that's floating around for this year is the word hope. Hope is rising. There seemed to have been, and I'll say more about this, but a hopelessness floating around somewhat. And it seemed like this year is a year where God says, all right, that's over, and there's going to be hope arising. So it's going to be a year of hope arising as well, and hope's going to become a reality. And so with this in mind, we went into the first of the year into the whole the Jabez teaching, because God's got more for us. He wants to, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the same way I am another year goes through. How about you? I mean, I want this year to do what last year, do what God wants to do, and let's move on. But I don't want to stay the same. I don't want to be in a rut. I want to keep on growing. I'll keep on moving. And so we dealt with Jabez. So how can we position ourselves so this year we can enlarge ourselves? This year, by the time it's over, our stakes are further out, so to speak, as Isaiah said. So now we took a few weeks, and this will be the last week. We're going to deal with the whole issue of getting your money straight for this year and getting God's blessings on you by honoring God with your tithes. Bob McCoon was a U.S. congressman, and tell the story about when he took his family out to eat. He said his kid was sitting across the table from him after they ordered. And Bob looked down and smelt fries. And sure enough, his son across the table from him had a French, big old thing of French fries he had ordered. And so he thought he'd reach over and take one. So he reaches over to take a French fry. And Bob said, to my astonishment, my son reached out and grabbed my hand. And he said to me, Dad, don't take my fries. And Bob said, I'd sit back. And I thought, what? What just happened? And he said, I just thought there for a moment. I was stunned. And he said, then, as I'm thinking, this teachable moment, this understanding comes to me. And Bob said, here was my next thoughts. I thought, you know, my son doesn't have any idea where those fries really came from. He said, my son doesn't understand that about 5 minutes ago, I went up, took my pocketbook out, took my hard-earned money, and bought his French fries. He said, I sat there thinking, and I thought, I could hear him amping up inside as he's thinking this. He said, then I thought, you know, he don't know that I'm the source of the French fries. Then he says, you know, he don't understand. I could go to the counter and buy enough French fries to bury him in. I don't have to have his stupid French fries. So then he thought, besides that, he don't even know I don't even need them. In a big way, he said, I don't need them. Then he said this. What I really wanted from my son was his willingness to share with me what I'd already given him. Isn't that a great definition of tithing? I'm willing simply to share what I've already given him. Because the heart of the issue these last 2 weeks, and it can be the heart of this one too, is, friends, I know people think this is about the stuff, but this is about your heart. This is about where you are. I mean, look, here's how God said it to Israel, because they got cross-eyed with this stuff too. And here's what God said to Israel in Psalm 50. He said, I don't have, this is back in the sacrificial days, and God looked at Israel and said, hey, wait. Let's get this clear. I don't have, paraphrase, could I paraphrase it a little bit? I'm still in the spirit of Bob has fallen on me. I don't have to have your stupid bulls. I don't have to get the stall of goats from your pen. Look at me, Israel. Every animal on the planet Earth belongs to me. And Israel. And the cattle, say it with me, on a what? So you think I need your stupid bulls? No. But you need to give them. And your heart needs to be in the right place to do it. What I want to do is I want to just go through real quick in this whole thing with six benefits or six things that happen to you when you tithe. All right, the first is this. When you start tithing, it will change your relationship with God. I don't know if y'all remember or not, but we'll do it again just to make sure you have remembered. Juana did an illustration with me when I think the first week I was talking about this. And I wanted you to have a picture of this where Wanda is worshiping God. Jesus, I love you, right? Right. You okay with me? And now, with the other hand, just pretend I'm God for a moment, just for a moment. And on the other hand, she is stealing my money. Now, how do you do both of these? You know? Because this is the reality of the book of Malachi. Now, what happens is, and I pointed this out, but when that happens, friend, there is a certain amount of guilt, there's a certain amount of distance that's created, a certain thing that happens in a relationship, you know, because if it was your friend and you stole from, how, you know, that's not going to be something you're going to be really open and passionate about. And so this distance happens. The moment you start tithing, this goes away. Thanks, Juana. Give her a hand. And it becomes personal now. You become a stakeholder. You become obedient. You become aligned with God. There's more passion. There's more a sense of get it factor, ownership. You know, you're laying up treasures in heaven. And there starts to be this relational thing that is really where God starts giving you insight. See, God wants relationship with you. God wants to walk and talk with you. He wants you to understand His heart. He wants you to know that He's there for you. He wants to be at your right side, hand side. He wants to do every day with you. He wants to talk every day with you. He wants to have a dialogue with you. And the thing is God didn't make this hard. This is not hard, friends. Religion makes it really hard. But you know, when Dean and I got together and I just went stupid, it wasn't hard. I didn't say, I just don't know if I can do this or not. It's natural. You know, I wanted to hold her hand. I wanted her close to me. I wanted to whisper sweet nothings in her ear. I wish that's what they were, because she couldn't understand them. She said, I mumbled. That's bad when you whisper sweet nothings and they go, she backs up and goes, what? What did you say? But God wants that relationship, friends. And He wants to share insights. I mean, just for all you businessmen and all you parents who are parenting and all the things you have to come up with creative ideas to solve problems, figure this out. God, it's not hard for God to give you one idea to change your whole world. It's not hard for God to give you one insight to unlock your child's heart. It's not hard for God. I mean, the relationship, that's what He wants to do. Let me ask you this question. We know the Bible says we're spirit, soul, and body. We are a spirit being. After we're born after God's image, we're a spirit being. Now, we live in a body, right? And we have a soul, and the soul, the Greek word is psuche in the Bible, it means you have a mind, you have emotions, and you have a will. You have mind, emotions, and will, but you are not a mind, emotions, and will. You're a spirit being. Now, your spirit lives somewhere inside your body, yes? But is it contained just in your body? All I'm just trying to get you to think for a moment. Y'all remember the passage in the Bible where Peter is walking down the street and his shadow falls on a sick person? And what happens? What happens? He's healed. Was it his spirit that's bigger than that? When you're in the presence of somebody, can their spirit minister to you? I mean, there's all kind of things that God wants to share with you, and it comes out of a relationship with him. I want to show you this clip. It's one of my favorite clips. And then I'll come back and we'll talk to you about it. But it's come from The Matrix. Take a look at this one.
Now get up.
Don't you just love that? Yeah. Well, Mike, that's totally impossible. What? It is? So I got a book that talks about somebody who got out on water that won't hold you up, and it became solid. And Jesus walked on the water. I got another book in the book about a storm that comes up. And Jesus totally, totally takes authority over it, and the natural world dies down. Let me ask you a question. What are you fighting with? What have you fought with all last year, and maybe longer, maybe all of your life? What have you fought with? And you look, if you can look in the Matrix, you look just like that guy, you know, and you're just fighting like crazy. What is it that the Lord could show you? And you could fight the fight this year with one hand behind your back. What insight. Just think, it comes out of the relationship, friends. He could bump you up just like that. And that's part of what he's saying here. Now, the second thing is that the curse is going to be removed from your life. And the curse is not something that God did. The curse is a result of what you have not done. And that is, in the sense of tithing, if you rob God, then the things he wants to do, he can't do. And I think probably the best way to explain the curse is explain the other benefits. And it will show you what is coming on you and therefore to show you what's leaving. So let's move on to three. Don't you love to cover points like that? Somebody say, amen, Pastor. You're moving now. Go ahead. You liked that, didn't you? Next point. All right, here we go. The window of heaven will be open over your life. He said, and thereby put me to the test, he says, the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down on you a blessing until there's no more need. Would it be all right with you if you reach a place in your life where you say, I don't have any high-level needs going on right now? Would that be all right? Financially, emotionally, there's no needs, he says. Because why? The windows are open. You know, one of the words that's used there in the Hebrew is the word sluice. And it's the gate that holds the dam. You know, when they have a dam and you have all the water, then they let some water out, they pull that big gate up. That is the sluice. That's what lets it out. I think I'm going to show you a picture here of the dam. That's the one they're having trouble with in California. Now, I want you to look at all that water and what's behind that gate. And what God uses that word for that gate and said, what I will do is over your life, I will open that gate and the dam is going to be loosed in your life. Is that all right with you? For those of you tithing, you just need to activate your faith and kind of get into this again. For those of you who are not, this is one of the reasons you need to. The Bible says in Psalm 68, bless the Lord who daily loads us with his what? With his what? How often? Daily he does it. It comes daily. This coming down, this window that he has open over your life. And it's not just, it's in one area. There are in every area of your life. Look what James 1:17 says. Don't you just read this with me? Read it out loud. Every good gift and every what? Perfect gift is where? From above. And comes down from who? Father of lights. Comes down from God. Every good thing. So all around you, the good stuff God wants to do and give you. Probably, last week I used an umbrella, but if you're walking around, friend, living life where this gate is open over your life and this deluge is coming, these things are coming over your life, this sluice gate is open over you and daily benefits are coming to you. Maybe that kind of looks like the priestly prayer that we have in the book of Numbers, that Aaron and all of his children and the priest, here's what they were to bless Israel with every time they came together. And that's one of the reasons why I end the services like I do. Because here's a prayer, number 6. The Lord bless you. And the Lord what? Keep you. The Lord make his face shine where? Upon you. And may the Lord be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I think the whole thing, the windows and God's attention and the gate that's open is much like God's face shines upon you. You remember when you were really passionately in love? You still are, aren't you? And when your eyes catch and you light up? Let's go ahead and look at it right now. That's what I'm talking about, that look. All right, wait till you get home. I mean, you're just so bossy. Y'all went fast. Watch this. Did you know this morning, according to the Bible, that he was watching you before you woke up? And according to Scripture, he was singing over you. What was he singing? It might be a love song. He was singing over you, watching you before you ever got up. His affection was towards you. His desire was towards you. His interest was towards you. And his face was shining on you, and you never knew you were sleeping. But he was watching over you. The affectionate God, his windows. For you young couples, you need to get this down. Because this is what's going to be on your family. This is what's going to be the atmosphere of your home. This is where you learn how to live. This is what God was teaching the nation of Israel, to live like that and to abide in his presence. This is what you keep. You want the window of heaven open because you want it coming on your kids. You want it coming. You want them to grow up in that atmosphere of honoring God. Now, what would he pour out? The windows are open. What did he pour out? He said, I'm going to pour out blessings on you. Blessings. You know, the word blessing means approval. I want everybody just to pause with me for a moment, because I just want to hit something that needs to be hit. And here it is. God, when he thinks about you, he approves. Blessings means that when his face shines on you and he looks at you and you're still sleeping, that he's not mad. He's not out to get you. Well, Mike, I just hadn't measured up. He knows that. Not doing everything right. He knows that. The approval of God, the blessings of God will be on you. It's approval. And it's more than just approval. The word blessed means that you actually are endued with power for success and longevity. Anybody here want to live a long life? It's part of the blessing package that God said, I'll give you. The root word for blessing also, wrapped up in that root Hebrew word, is the word knee. In other words, if somebody is weak-kneed, what does that mean? It's the weakest part of the body. It's the knees. Some of you had surgery on them, haven't you? Yeah. But that's why when it says you're weak-kneed and you bow, because kneeling is in the word kneel, and kneeling is connected. And so when you bow on your knee, so to speak, which is an internal thing of attitude in your heart, God gives you strength. He strengthens you. He blesses you with strength. Is what the word means. Blesses. All right, the number five. The tithing will activate God's principle, what I call principle of plenty. And that is this. Look at Proverbs 3. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits, which again is part of the tithe, and of all your produce. Now, once you honor God, then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. In other words, it's a symbol of God's blessing you and of prosperity and God's blessings on you. And what was a need now is no longer a need. It's filled with plenty. Isn't that interesting where in Malachi it says that God will open a window and pour out a blessing until there is no need? That's what he says. The word honor. Honor the Lord means to weigh down. It means like there's a weight about you that when something comes your way, you want. There's a weightiness that this belongs to God. There's an intentionality, a seriousness of weight that you do it. And you say, here it goes. The fifth thing is God's going to rebuke the devourer for your sake. Rebuke the devourer for your sake. I don't know about you, there's a lot of places in my life that had God not been there, I wouldn't be here. I remember when Dean and I were in Pensacola and we made a decision, I'd finish up a bachelor's, we decided to stay there and I was going to do my graduate work. And so Dean took a job and we were there, and when we were sitting down, I went with her and for the interview, and we were sitting down. And by the time we left, and though she accepted the job, it didn't feel right. Have you ever walked in a way where it seemed like you were walking the right thing, and then somehow when you started getting in there, this is not feeling the way I thought it was. And so we called some friends of ours and said to some friends of ours, I said, would you pray about this? Because we're thinking about having our next run to be here in Pensacola and for me to go back to school. And so they called back after some time later, and here's the words out of their mouth. They said back to us, they said, there's death in that pot. In other words, if you do this, this is a bad decision for you. And what would have happened? And we went back, and she accepted them. We went back and told these guys that we just didn't feel like it was the right decision. And they let us out of the contract, and so everything was fine. I don't know what we'd have done had somehow God not intervened. I mean, all kind of things. Just we were coming home. We had two cars. I had a really good car, and then I had my not so good car, you know. And the good one wasn't a really good one, but it was better than the other one. But we had a mission conference, and God moved on our heart to give one of the cars to a missionary. And that started this crazy journey, you know, where it says, all right, now I know I'm giving a car to the missionary. Which one to give? You can give the good one, or you can give the junk one. What are you going to say? Well, no, I ain't going to give God junk. Yeah, no. And that was the start of a whole nother process. Because now what I'd planned to do once, I said, okay, I'll give you the good car, God. Okay. Now had the good car had really good tires on it. And so I was going to take the tires off the good car. And I'll never forget, the Lord, I was in the garage one day, and the Lord just prompted me and said, I'm just like a question ran through my mind. Let me get this straight. Now, you going to keep the good tires and give me the bad ones? I said, oh, no, I'd never do that. He knew I had a plan going on. I mean, it went right on to the place. I'm driving the car to the church to give it away, and I look at the gas meter, and it's about empty. And here's the thought that went through my head then. You going to give me a car with empty gas? I said, oh, no, I'd never do that. And I was thinking, why didn't I get there before I saw the gauge? True story. All right, so we graduated. We didn't take the job. We're on the way home. And Mom and some other folks came up, and we loaded up, and we all came home together. And we're outside of Augusta. We had stopped and got gas outside of Augusta, going down the interstate. And all of a sudden, they pull up beside me and started pointing to the back of the car. Well, I stopped. And that's when I realized why they were pointing. Because when I filled up with gas, apparently that was the last leg it could hold. And the gas tank fell down, and I was dragging it under the car. I'm glad he's going to rebuke the devourer for me. Because I didn't even know what was up. But fortunately, it was sliding on the two straps that held it up. And all the stuff was coming out from it, all the sparks and all. But it just, one part of the gas tank just happened to hit. So there's one little hole in it. So I went to the store, got me a screw and a longer hose, screwed a screw up into where it was leaking, and got me a longer hose, took it out from under the car, put it in my trunk. And so when we came home with the gas can in my trunk. I kept it in there for a little while. Then went to the gas. This is back in the day, but they pumped gas for you. Anybody old remember those days? And then we had the Civil War and all that stopped. and so Dean was up in the car, and so she was sitting there waiting. And finally, the guy came to her and he said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry, I've never done this before, but I cannot find your gas tank." And then he said, "It's in the trunk." And so, but true story. Let me go ahead and finish the car story. True story. I'm in a meeting, and finished teaching a Bible study. A guy comes up to me in that meeting and says, "I cannot leave without being obedient." And I says, "Okay." He said, "I've got several cars." But he says, "I got one that's kind of the apple of my eye." He said, "I have a 1968 Camaro, metallic gray. It's a convertible, a white top. It's got mag rims on it. Got a Hurst shifter. It's got 28,000 actual miles on it. And it is restored back exactly 100% to the day it came out of the showroom. And God has been speaking to me to give you that car." And I said, "Well, I'll pray about it. Let's just pray." But not only did he rebuke the devourer, but he just keeps, this thing keeps happening, you know, the blessings just keep coming. And it's like, when I watched people, and we all have tough times sometimes, friends. This is not a clause that said everything is going to be rosy and nothing ever is going to happen. No. This is, You know, the Bible says you're going to have tribulation. Stuff is going to come. But the overarching thing is I've watched people, and I've watched the devourer slowly erode and start eating and taking from them a whole lifestyle that I knew God had for them. A whole relational dimension that went totally south. The enemy just eating it up, devouring it, eating and devouring. I watched it happen. And he didn't want it to happen. And this is one of the ways where you stop that from happening. The last one is this. You'll be called blessed. By blessed, it's not only will God restore now what's happened before when he's dealing with Israel. Now, when they start, now not only will God restore them, but restore them to a point where now it's observable to the other nations around him. Here's what's a great day, is when the blessings of God is so on your life until people look at you and say, how do you do it? What is that that works for you? How do you make that work? How do you make family work, relationship work? How do you keep your finances going? How do you do all this stuff where life happens like this? I can tell you how to do it. It starts with the open heaven. It starts with the blessings coming. That's where it starts. And then God restores what has been taken away. I believe this is a year of restoration. I believe God's going to restore some things that's been taken away from you. And you know, there's a scripture that literally talks about that when the enemy comes and steals stuff from you, that you can say to him, now you got to repay sevenfold. Anybody ever heard of that scripture? It's a scripture. Sevenfold. So I believe this year we ought to just position ourselves for God to restore to us what needs to restore. Psalm 23. You know it. The Lord is my what? Now look at this. The Lord is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd?
Yes.
I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside the still waters. Look at this. Restores what? So your soul is your mind, emotions, and will. Restores you mentally. Restores you emotionally. Restores you in your heart. The God of restoration. That's exactly what he does. He leads me to the paths of righteousness. One way you can read this is righteousness is rightness. God's going to lead us this year in paths of rightness. We'll have the right paths. Now watch this with me. Everybody look at this. Some people are in a cycle. And the cycle is taking you down. And what God's going to do is God's going to lead you in a path where you go into a cycle that's going to lead you up and not down. He's going to break the old cycles. I believe that's what's in store for this year. It is. You've been this way for a long time. But this is the year it changes. All right? This is the year it changes. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Read with me. Yea, though I walk. Of what? Here we go. Let's say this real loudly. I will fear no evil. Why? Why? The heavens are open. God's blessings are on me. I'm not going to walk in fear like that. I'm going to trust God. My future, God, you got it. You got it. You can handle this. You got it in your hands. I'm not going to walk in fear. No, look what it says. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And you prepare a table in the presence of my... So where are your enemies when you're at the table? They're with you. I'm going to paraphrase this for you, okay? God, you're going to prepare a table. And my enemies are going to be there. And they're going to eat what you prepared. And it's going to nurture me. But it's going to kill them. I mean, it's going to do them under, you know? I'm going to be in your presence. But you're going to watch out for me. Because the same thing I eat, they're going to have to eat. And either it's going to change them for good. Or they're not going to be able to stand it. Let's go down to the last one here. And surely, say it with me, surely, goodness, let's say it loudly. Goodness and mercy will follow you. How long? Is that true, yes or no? Now, why is that true? Part of it is because you're honoring God. You know, you got to keep your heart right and all this stuff, but part of it is you're honoring God. And this is who you are. So before we go, I'm going to ask the guest service folks to come. But here's what I want to do. I want you to sit, and if you need to get your checks ready, whatever you want to do to give, get ready. But here's what I want. I want them to pause long enough. Just stand up front for a few moments. I want to pause long enough until we give right in the middle of worship. Because that's what this is. This is a worshiping God with our resources that He's blessed us with. So we're going to worship right now. I worship together. But right in the middle of it, right in the middle of it, then we're going to give tithes and we're going to honor God. And we honor Him and He's going to honor us. All right? So just hold it for a minute, guys, and let's sing together. Come on. All right, I want you to get a picture as you go that God wanted Israel so distinctly marked by Him until the other nations would see they're blessed and then honor their God because Israel was blessed. That's exactly what He wants to do with your life. He wants the distinction to be about you, about us together, as men and women who honor God. That's the reason He didn't want them to get out and do what everybody else did and worship other gods and forsake the principles and lose their distinctiveness. He wanted them to stay under, obey Him, and then let all this stuff happen we've been talking about over their life so they would live a life that would be fulfilling, enrich, their kids would grow up that way, and they would just be blessed, the blessed people in the land. And that's exactly what He wants for you. So those of you who are tithers, and you always like this stuff because you're already tithing, but just up this in your mind. When you walk by and see your kid, just let it register in your mind. I'm a tither. What does that mean? The fruit will not fall off the vine before it's ripe. It will come to completion. You are my kid, and you will grow up and be what God's called you to be. You will not follow other gods. You will not get out and do stuff. Why? Because I'm in covenant with God. And that's part of the covenant promise right there in Malachi. You know, the same thing with other parts of your life. Say, God, I'm living in consciousness with this. If you're not living in consciousness and the enemy comes to steal, if he finds out that you don't know that you're in covenant and you hadn't got it down, he'll walk right out and steal it from you because that's what he does. He's a stealer. But when he comes to steal what you got, now because of the authority you have, you can exactly tell him where to go and where to get off. Not at my house, yes? Not with my life. No way. No. So now, Lord bless you. Lord keep you. Lord calls His face to shine upon you with His approval just all over you. May He be gracious to you. And may you have His peace because you are the men and women of the one true God Himself, Jesus Christ. Be blessed and have a great week, everybody.